Bibles with me, please, and open to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. You know, as we have studied the life of Christ in the Gospel of John, most recently, we have come across this very important truth, that Jesus Christ is so equal with God. Jesus the King is so equal with God that he is worthy of the same honor as God. And this morning, we're going to take a look at how the Queen of Sheba responded to King Solomon, and then we'll see what Jesus has to say about that. And what you're going to find is that this account in 1 Kings chapter 10 has a lot to do with you and everyone you love. You don't often think about that when you read stories or accounts from the Old Testament. For many people, it's a difficulty to apply the Old Testament to their lives. But we get help from Christ this morning because he himself is going to give us the application of 1 Kings 10, 1 through 10. That's our text for this morning, and as always, I encourage you to follow along. The text is 1 Kings 10, 1 to 10, and the title of the message this morning is The Queen and the King. The Queen and the King. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, this huge entourage, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her, no more fighting spirit. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men." Oh, stop there. See, Pastor Dan? This fits perfectly with the song, The Joy of the Lord. Happy. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. We'll probably go further than that, but that's enough for now. This is the story of a great queen, the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, and her response to what she heard about an even greater king. You have to imagine it would have been difficult for her to hear about someone who is greater than her. She was quite wealthy, as we'll see. And it's her response to that king. And the Spirit of God, as we walk through this story, you're going to see the Spirit of God highlights at least five things that she did after she heard of his fame. And when we're done going through this story and these five things that the Queen of Sheba did, we're going to turn to the New Testament and see what Jesus said about this and how it applies to you and everyone you love. If you haven't already opened in your Bibles, I would encourage you, have a Bible open. Help yourself to pay attention. Help yourself to stay awake on a warm Sunday morning and see what the Spirit of God has for you to see here. What did the Queen of Sheba do when she heard about this king? Well, notice first that she heard about him. This is not in the list of five. Verse 1 says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon." Here we need a little bit of background. You need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded of what God tells us about this great king. So turn from chapter 10 back to chapter 3. Should see fingers turning, just like in the yellow pages. Some young people don't know what those are. 1 Kings, take a look back at chapter 3 and verse 5. Solomon, as you know, was the son of David. And when he came to power, God appeared to him. And here's what happened. 1 Kings 3, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Great request, right? Or great offer. God is offering to Solomon, name what you will, what do you want from me? Solomon said, verse 6, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant, that's Solomon speaking of himself, you've made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. He doesn't mean that he is literally a little child, but he is just like a child in wisdom. Here's Solomon, son of David, son of the great king, the man after God's own heart, admitting to God that he does not know how he's going to lead this great people Israel. And so his request, verse 9, therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people so that I might discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? In verse 8, which I skipped, Solomon says, your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Put yourself in Solomon's shoes. He's following in the footsteps of his father David. He is required now to lead this great people Israel, and he's admitting to God, I don't know how to do it. What did God think of that request? Verse 10, 1 Kings 3:10. This speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, look at this. I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings all your days. Solomon, until the time of Jesus, was the wisest human king who ever walked the face of the earth. No one was like him before him, and no one like him after him. Turn over to chapter 4 for a moment, and verse 29, 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. You know what largeness of heart is? That is a willingness, a generous spirit, to share your wisdom with others. Largeness of heart, generosity. Now turn to 10, 1 Kings chapter 10. I might need somebody to get me some water. Sorry to have to ask that. It says, I might definitely need water. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, what do you do when you get a frog in your throat, right? She heard about this, right? The word spread far that Solomon was given by God greater wisdom than any other king ever had. She heard about this. Now think of what she could do. She could ignore it, right? People hear of the King Jesus and they just go, ah. And they go on. They totally ignore what they hear. Let's call that the way of ignorance. The way of ignoring. Thank you, Miss Marianne. She heard of this fame of Solomon, and she could have ignored it, right? Or she could have become jealous. Him? What about me? Natural sinful response when we hear about somebody who's greater than ourselves is to think about ourselves and to think that somebody other than us is getting the praise that we deserve, that should be given to us. The Queen of Sheba could have become jealous. She could have ignored this. She could have just completely discounted it altogether and said, I don't believe it. It's not real. But what did she do? The Spirit of God shows us five things, and as we walk through, think about this as the way to respond rightly when you hear about a glorious king. The first thing she did is that she came with hard questions. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She gathered up all these questions. She probably made a list, because it says she talked with him about everything in her heart. She probably made a list of all the questions that she might ask of this great king who had this wisdom that surpassed all other men. Back in chapter 4, it talks about all the other men that Solomon was wiser than. In other words, people compared him to everyone else who had been given great wisdom, and Solomon kept coming out on top. She came to him with hard questions. Now, that's not all she came with, by the way. If you look at verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, precious stones. You might wonder why she came with this, with all these people. One reason might be that, hey, if this king is as great as everyone says, then my staff needs to hear about him. But that doesn't explain the camels, the spices. Another reason might be that, you know, they didn't have business cards in those days. You didn't show up at Solomon's door and just knock and get let in. And she couldn't pull out a business card saying, I'm the queen of Sheba. So this is her business card, the very great retinue, to kind of say, hey, just so you know who's coming, it's me, the queen of the south. But I think there's another reason. She had heard about this king, and she had heard how great he was, and she's thinking, if he's that great, then he's a king that's worthy of honor. I'm going to come with hard questions, but I'll be ready to honor him if he's as great as everyone says. Notice verse 2, it says at the end of the verse, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. What do you think might have been in the heart of the queen of Sheba? What do you think might have been in her heart that she would talk to Solomon about? What kinds of questions do you think she had? I wonder if she had political questions. You know, Solomon, I have people in my kingdom who are like this. I have people who want my position. How do you deal with things like that? I'll bet she had economic questions. You know, Solomon, our nation is rich, but we have poor people among us. How do you deal with people who are poor? She might have had social questions, just normal relational questions. Solomon, we have discontent people down in the south. By the way, Sheba is down south in Arabia where Yemen now is. She traveled 1,000 miles to see this king. She might have had questions like that. We have people who are discontent, who grumble and complain. How do you deal with grumblers and complainers? She might have had philosophical questions. What do you think is good for the sons of men to do under the sun all the days of their life? Ecclesiastes reference, if you didn't recognize that. What do you think is the meaning of life? What profit is there in all of our labor? What is the whole duty of man? She might have had personal questions. King, do you ever get tired? Do you ever grow weary? Do you ever get tired of being king? Do you ever wish that you had had something else, been someone else? She might have had spiritual questions. Tell me about your God. What's he like? What's his plan? I'll bet she asked all those questions. It says, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. What do you think? Is that a good thing to do? If you hear about a great king and you've had a lot of questions in life, what do I do in this circumstance? How do I deal with this person? How do I deal with this problem? Why wasn't I someone else? Can I be someone else? What do we do about? And what if? Do you think it would be honoring, if you heard of a great king whose wisdom surpassed all others, would it be honoring to bring all of your hard questions to that king? Second thing she did is she witnessed, by asking those questions, she witnessed all of his wisdom and she was humbled. Second, she witnessed all of his wisdom and she was humbled. Notice verse 3. So Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Now that's a great king. Imagine if you could take every question you ever had to some great king, and he could answer every question such that, I mean, it's like you're drinking from the fountain of wisdom. And you would be so satisfied that you would never go anywhere else with all of your questions. Could you imagine a king that great? This is what Solomon was for her. He answered all of her questions. Was it worth it traveling 1,000 miles to get all of her questions answered? Notice verse 4. When the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon. So this is getting all of her questions. First, she can see that his wisdom appears to be limitless. It appears to be without end because she has not asked him a question that stumped him. When she saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, I'll bet you that was some house, right? Solomon's house. I mean, he describes it in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, really chapter 2. I mean, he had gardens and servants and fountains. I mean, this would probably make, if you've ever been to Getty's Museum out in California, or if you've ever been to, you know, one of the great places on the East Coast, or if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and if you've seen the White House, I bet this makes the White House look like a dump. Solomon's house? She saw this house that he had built for himself? Verse 5, and the food on his table? I mean, we're not talking Kroger. We're not talking great value. We're talking Hellman's real mayonnaise. We're talking Heinz ketchup. We're talking not great value mustard, but Grey Poupon, the mustard of the kings. She saw the food on his table. Have you ever been a place where you saw the food and you're like, wow, this is like the best of the best? She saw the food on his table, the seating of his servants, verse 5. Not just the servants, but the seating of the servants. Look where they sit. Look at how this king treats his servants so well. Could you imagine a king so great that he would treat his servants so well that he would let them eat at his table? She sees this and she just is blown away. The seating of his servants, the service of his waiters. And you know what I'll bet the hallmark was of the service of his waiters? They're serving with gladness. She's going to say that, right? They're happy. They're joyful. They're happy to be serving this king. The queen of Sheba, she sees all this. And their apparel. I thought this morning of it. You ever heard that phrase? How many have heard of dressed to the nines? Heard of dressed to the nines? It's an old idiom, and it basically means dressed to the max. I looked up where that comes from, and it's like no one really knows. It's sort of a mystery. But they're dressed to the nines, whatever that means. They're dressed well. This is the servants and the waiters and his cupbearers. May I refresh your beverage, ma'am? Where's that from? Chick-fil-A. May I refresh your beverage? It's refresh. It's not a refill. They don't call refills, right? They refresh your beverage. Making sure you're tracking here. When she saw his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, when he saw this, and they say this is probably the path that he would take to the Lord's house, or the path that he would take to make sacrifices. She is taking all this in, and notice what happened. Last line, verse 5. There was no more spirit in her. What, she died? No. No, this phrase is used only 3 times in the Old Testament. And in each case, it's the same idea. People had a certain fighting spirit or certain argumentative spirit, and then they come, they hear, and they see, and that spirit is completely gone. Really makes me think of how most people are when you tell them about Jesus. They've got walls built up. They've got a fighting spirit in them, and they're ready to give you their objections. You know, well, Christians, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's just a book written by men. Well, you know, but here, the Queen of Sheba came with a certain fighting spirit. She was going to test him with hard questions. She was probably going to prove that he wasn't that great, that she's probably greater. But when she saw and heard all the wisdom and wealth and joy surrounding this great King Solomon, there was no more fighting spirit. She was humbled. In Joshua 2:11, Rahab the harlot uses the same phrase. And she says, when we heard all these things, what things? When we heard about how the Lord dried up the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, when we heard how you utterly destroyed the kings of the Amorites, Rahab the harlot says, our hearts melted. That's the translation in Joshua 2:11. There was no more fighting spirit in us, the people of Jericho. How did this Queen of Sheba respond to the great King Solomon? Well, she came to him with questions, hard questions. And she witnessed all of his wisdom and was humbled. Third, notice what she did third. She confessed her unbelief and became a believer. She confessed her unbelief and became a believer. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However," and this had to be hard for her to admit, "I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes." How difficult is it for people in high places to admit error? She's saying, "I was r-r-r-r-r." Yeah, the Fonz. We're going way back, right? "I was wrong." She's saying, "I was wrong about you. I heard it all. I didn't believe it. Maybe she thought this can't be true. No one can be that great." She says, "I didn't believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes." And now look at verse 7. "Indeed, the half was not told to me." Now she's like, these people didn't say enough about you. They didn't exalt you high enough. They didn't speak well enough of you. Can you imagine being one of those who witnessed of King Solomon, and now you find out your witnessing wasn't good enough because you didn't exalt him as highly as he should have been exalted, and somebody else came and says, "Man, you didn't even tell me half of how great he is." This is kind of a rebuke to those who told the Queen of Sheba about Solomon. They didn't speak well enough of him. She came and saw and says, "Indeed, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom." And this is what a great story about a woman who is responding to the great report she heard about a king greater than herself. Right? She came and put him to the test with her hard questions. And she witnessed all of his wisdom and all of his glory, all of his greatness, and she was humbled. And now she openly confesses her previous unbelief, and she becomes a true believer. It was a true report. Well, it's not hard for her to become a true believer. I mean, she's seeing it. Right? Everything is now being fulfilled in front of her very eyes. And fourth, now what does she do? Man, she begins praising God. She begins praising God. Verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel." Why did God set Solomon on the throne of Israel? Well, according to the Queen of Sheba, "Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." But there's an interesting thought, right? God, because he so loves his elect, could establish over them a king who is awesome, who is glorious, who is full of wisdom, who is generous with his servants, who is willing to explain everything to anyone who asks. And that's an expression of God's love for those over whom that king rules. The Queen of Sheba recognizes that. Man, she begins praising God and the God of Israel. I don't know where she was spiritually before she came there, but she sees Solomon. And notice in verse 1, it says, she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning the name of Yahweh. She had heard that the reason why this king was so great was all because of Yahweh, who had installed him and set him up to be king over his people. And fifth, what did this woman do? She honored him. Materially, she honored him from her wealth. Verses 10 through 13. "Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold." Now just stop there for a second. I need somebody with a calculator who's quick. Calculator quick, seriously. Who's quick with a calculator? And you have one on your phone. You got it. Ready. I don't know who said that, but Livy, super. I know you're highly qualified. You ready? So she gave 120 talents of gold. So 120 talents, so that's 120, times 75. There are various estimates of how many pounds a talent is, but 75 seems to be a good estimate. 120 times 75, all right, so that's going to be a weight measurement. Times 16 ounces per pound, times 1778. $1,778, that's today's price for an ounce of gold. What do you come up with? That's good, that's what I came up with, because I was going to check your work. $256,032,000 in today's. She honored him, that's just the gold portion, okay? So she gave him $256 million in gold, 120 talents. Now look what else. Verse 10. Spices in great quantity, which those weren't cheap, and precious stones. We're talking like jasper and onyx and sapphire and diamonds and who knows what else. Emeralds maybe, rubies. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also, now we're adding on, the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, they brought great quantities of almugwood and precious stones from Ophir, and the king made steps of the almugwood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house also, harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almugwood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Implication? She felt that what she gave him in gold and spices and precious stones wasn't enough. So she made use of ships to get precious wood to bring to bless Solomon and his kingdom. Now what happened as a response, okay? She hears about the fame of Solomon. She doesn't ignore it. She doesn't discount it. She doesn't become jealous or envious or pout or anything else. She comes to see for herself. She tests him with hard questions. She witnesses his great wisdom. Her heart is humbled, right? She confesses her unbelief. She becomes a true believer. She honors the king from her wealth. And what happens to her? Verse 13. It should say, so King Solomon, because this is King Solomon's response to the queen for honoring him. So King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what King Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Do you think she went back more blessed than she came? Oh, yeah. Like, I guess there was some standard generosity they would give her as a queen. And then he thought, well, that's not enough, because look how she's honored me. I'll give her anything she wants. But that is a great king. And you say, what does that have to do with me? And my kids, and my grandkids, and my mom and dad, and my brother and sister, and my neighbor down the street. Well, turn to your Bibles, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, because something has happened since the days of Solomon. Solomon reigned approximately 1,000 BC, so let's just call it 3,000 years ago. But 2,000 years ago, you live in 2022 right now, 2,022 years ago, plus minus, a greater king came onto the scene. The greatest king who ever has walked the face of the earth, far greater than Solomon in wisdom, and far greater than Solomon in wealth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the world belongs to him. He's the creator of it all. And his name is Jesus. And here is what Jesus says about everything we just read. The divine commentary on 1 Kings 10, 1-13. Look at Luke 11, verse 31. The queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba we just read about. She will rise up, that is, rise up from the dead. And she will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them. Now stop there for a moment and consider what Jesus is saying. This is going to happen, okay? This is a prophecy. Jesus is saying, remember the Queen of Sheba from 1 Kings 10, the one we just read about? Jesus says, let me tell you what's going to happen in the future. That same woman is going to rise up in God's judgment of the people of this generation. That's us, folks. Here's where we are in this story. The Queen of Sheba is going to rise up with the people of this generation, and she's going to condemn them. She's going to render a verdict against them. Why? Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Let me ask you something. Have you heard of the great king, Jesus? Have you heard of him who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a sinless life, who, as the creed goes, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried? Have you heard of the great king who rose up from the dead, who showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, who ascended back into heaven, who sits even now at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession? Have you heard of this king who will judge the quick and the dead? I would dare say that everyone in the sound of my voice has heard of this King Jesus. And the question is, what's your response? How have you responded? And how have those that you love responded to King Jesus? Have you come to him with your hard questions? Everyone has hard questions. What have you done? Have you brought your questions to Christ to test his wisdom, to test his knowledge? Jesus is of larger heart than Solomon, much more willing even than Solomon to share all of his great wisdom. Have you seen the wisdom of Christ? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ. He is referring to this book that you can hold in your hands. And he says, we have the mind of the Anointed One, the King promised by God who will reign in eternity. We have his mind in a book. Those familiar words, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, right? The precious things that God has laid up for those who love him, that's not talking about heaven. That's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Have you tested Christ with your hard questions? Have you seen his wisdom? Has your heart been humbled? Has the fighting spirit against Jesus Christ been removed in you, has been removed in me? I definitely had that at one time in my life. When I was in my 20s, I didn't want to talk to anybody about God. I would try to end that conversation as quickly as possible. Or I had my defenses built up, you know. I don't have to go to church to believe in Jesus. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Of course, the truth is, if you're a Christian, you want to go to church, right? I had my defenses. What about you? You still have a fighting spirit against God and Christ and the Bible and the church and Christians? Or has it been wiped away by the glory of Jesus Christ? Have you seen Christ's wealth? Have you read on the pages of Scripture what is in store for those who love God? Have you read Revelation? Have you studied the glories of heaven? What's been your response to Jesus Christ? Have you confessed to him your unbelief and all your other sins beside? Have you humbled yourself before King Jesus and said, Lord, I used to not believe in you. I heard about you and I confess I did not believe, but now I do believe. It's true what I was told. Have you confessed? Have you become a true believer? Do you honor Jesus from your wealth? Do you honor him from your wealth of time? We have so much time. Do you honor him from the wealth of physical abilities has he given you? We are able to do so much. Do you honor him with your words? Do you honor him with money? Some of you probably got a check yesterday in the mail. Will you honor him with the first fruits of all your increase? Here's what Jesus says. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with, meaning against, the men of this generation, that is, those who heard about Jesus Christ, ignored him, disbelieved, discounted him, considered him unworthy of their attention. The Queen of Sheba will rise up and condemn them because she came from 1,000 miles away at a day when it was almost impossible to travel that far with the retinue she had, just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now a far greater than Solomon is here. Well, let me say to you, if you have responded to the King the right way, if you have become a true believer in Jesus Christ, rejoice and continue to honor him and be blessed. Because I can tell you that Jesus Christ blesses those who honor him far greater than Solomon blessed the woman who honored him. Rejoice and be blessed and continue to honor Jesus Christ in every way you can think of. He is so equal to God that he's worthy of the exact same honor as God. But if you're here today, you've heard about Jesus Christ, but you've never repented of your sin of unbelief, today's the day of salvation. Don't leave the way you came. Don't leave without Christ and his blessings. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this great account of the Queen of the South and how she came to Solomon and honored him and how she returned home more blessed than she came. And Father, I pray that would be the case for someone here today. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't have him, who hasn't understood him. May today be the day of salvation. If there's anyone here with questions, may they come with questions today and test us with the hard questions which we can bring to you. And Father, for your elect, thank you for putting such a great king over us, your Son, Jesus Christ. We are of most people, all, of all people, most blessed. We say it in Jesus' name. Amen.